Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 3rd of November 2019. It's quite something when you remember the snow up here, North Ontario, this year, which was wrapped until the beginning of June, before it started to really disappear quickly. The snow last year started in September and went right on through until, let's say, the end of May, beginning of June, where I live here. So I've had pretty well 5 months free of snow, and it's back again, of course. I've had it for a few days now. But it shows you how we're getting longer and longer winters here because of global warming, eh? You know something, with the taxes we have to pay on global warming and for carbon and all that, I demand my share of global warming. It's my right to have some, isn't it? Because they put money on or taxes on so many things that you need. I said that would happen years ago. Because you're going into a truly monitored, socialized system designed a long time ago, even before World War II, to an extent. And they needed all of course, are the big organizations you're very familiar with today, with CFR and Royal Institute for International Affairs, Trilateral Commission, all the biggies that have branches in every country on the planet, and who drafted up the unification for Europe, the unification for the Americas, if you've all forgotten about that one too. And they've also drafted up one for the Pacific Rim region. And no one questions why they do it, because you see, they are chosen from the intelligentsia. They're picked at school, universities, and the doors are just open for them, and they really will do their job well for their paymasters, because they do get paid an awful lot of money, a lot of prestige, and they get a lot of privileges you don't get down the bottom. But here we are living in a system where the same organizations which existed before World War One, as far as the group in London existed, and in fact into the 1800s, we know that because the Lord Alfred Milner Group, and I have his books here that he wrote, really managed what was called the British Empire, and they pushed the borders further out for this empire into South Africa and different places to get the resources and the diamonds and the gold and so on. They eventually came above board and put out their name as the Royal Institute for International Affairs, but before that they were just called the Milner Group. Incredibly powerful organization with an inner party, literally. That's where George Orwell got his idea, an inner party, an outer party, because of an inner circle at these organizations and then the outer circle of helpers, as they call it. And that's where that really comes from. And we've been living through it in our whole lives. And before we were born, it was all there and affecting our parents and grandparents as they went through world wars to make it all happen, a globalized society. Not just any old globalized society. You understand, if you want to do something in society or where you've got millions and billions of people on the planet who might object, then whatever you push, you must do it through crisis and then you come forward to save them all. So it's either war crises or famine crises or whatever it happens to be, or plagues even. Don't forget, we have awfully effective biowarfare organizations working for different high-level governments and departments. But yeah, there's nothing that cannot be done, but they always come forward is to help you, you see. The same with Monsanto. Monsanto came forward at the time with its modified and genetically modified vegetables and so on, and slapped patents on them, and came out with their own pesticides too, and herbicides, etc., which you had to use with their particular seeds and the terminator gene, so farmers couldn't save the seed and replant it. Total monopoly of the food supply was the purpose of it. So the farmers had to go back every year to buy seed, and they had to buy the chemicals and so on. So you understand, everything is done under the guise of feeding the world, but there was no problem with food for the world before they came along, you see. There really wasn't. And we remember, for those who can remember, the hullabaloo about, oh, we need this to save the world, we need it to save... No, that was their advertising, marketing slogans and so on, to save the world and feed the world and all that. And in reality, what they did was put all the natural seeds that had basically evolved in different areas out of business, and they gave them theirs instead, so then their own modified stuff. But they took natural seeds to save some in those big vaults that they've got outside Norway, and a few others across the planet that we're all paying for in case the elite have to rebirth the world for themselves and survive in the future. But what's astonishing to me is how much they've written about their agenda. And of course, it's an old story too. If you repeat what they've written from their agenda, from their own books, then you're a conspiracy theorist. That is an amazing psychological trick, that, isn't it? Because I guess it works on some people who will simply start parroting your conspiracy theorists, and they won't even look at the book or the information that you have. And that standard, this is well understood in psychology and behaviorism, because they've been studying us so long, and they know exactly the trends of thought that will be adopted by most people, not just through the bits and bytes of information. That's how it is. Most folk don't read through things. They get bits and bytes of information as they're passing into their car and the radio and so on, or going into the house and they're walking from the kitchen to the living room and they hear bits and bytes of repetitive information. And eventually they have viewpoints on things that they've been downloaded with, and they haven't thought through them. And why should you? Because you understand, you've been trained in a society to believe the media. Well, who has rubber stamped the media to be the emissaries of God, to tell you what's right, wrong, and true and false? But people accept that they are. But not that long ago, they didn't. Most folk didn't trust media because they had a long understanding of media moguls, who they were, in fact, who owned the big chains, and what their viewpoints were, and what their agendas were, and what businesses were involved with, and so on. Today, that really isn't there. They took a lot of time and money to retrain us all to believe what they say must be true, simply because their authorized personnel tell us so. And it works very well with most people. After all, why should they be lying to you? That's how naive we are today. These are the same media organizations, the same, often intergenerational, who led us through wars telling us the same nonsense, And it's for the good of this and good of that, as we all die off and pay for it, and we're still paying for world wars. So the reality of this world is that you'll never really, really get the truth on what it's about, because you're not meant to. The reason that they gave you what was called a deep state, this term deep state that came out with Trump's inauguration, was really something that's been there before World War II. They had huge meetings at the end of World War I, and with the League of Nations to draft up this socialist, when I mean socialist, I'm talking about the totally scientific control of every person on the planet from birth to death. That's socialism, where really you're an organ of the state, and you work and live for the state. That's your purpose, and you won't have any other duty but to work for the state and live for the state. And that was put forward in the early days very openly by the Fabian Society, the socialists, and they're like, you had H.G. Wells and George Bernard Shaw, who said that you will not exist unless you exist for us, the state, the rulers of the state. And you have to come to us and tell us why we should keep you alive. And so socialism is not a happy welfare state, folks, like they're giving you now to put everybody at ease before they hit you. No. Socialism is literally, you have no mind of your own. You have a duty like a robot. And that's why people struggled and fought against it so hard after the big communist scares and the takeovers before World War II. And then afterwards, of course, went into the Cold War, where you're living in you're paranoid. You're living in a society and there's such a totalitarian regime because there's incredible punishments if you don't go along with it. And China's already, which is still, we forget, a communist country. Isn't that amazing? How we're so tricked and we're so gullible and so stupid. We are stupid, come on. And I can remember when they brought out, after signing the agreements, that China would be the manufacturer for the whole of the planet, basically, through the free trade and the GATT agreements with China, all drafted up again by your private organizations like the Royal Institute for International Affairs and CFR. And Trilateral Commission, and they told everybody in the West, it'd be so great, jobs, but they didn't tell you it was going to be jobs for China, and you would lose all your jobs back home because you wouldn't be making anything anymore. And it's true, we have departments of finance that still exist for creating jobs and so on, but we don't need them anymore, really, because we're not making anything except debt. But China, I can remember when it's so silly how they introduce something into this and how it works. It's so simple because so little is given to you to actually argue about the points of it. But the media and the television came out with China. Well, suddenly, you saw little vendors in China on the street selling things, and they say, oh, capitalism is good. And that's the kind of propaganda that we were given in the West by our own masters, you see. So the communists were suddenly going to be the capitalists. Wrap your mind around this. So we in the West, who supposedly fought communism, not just a monetary system, but a social system of control, where you exist to serve the state. The state is God. There's no other gods before it. And you will obey or else. And we fought that. But suddenly, we gave all our factories that to China, and even paid for the transfer as they uprooted the factories over to China for the big corporations. And your masters that you still vote for, and you know they're not masters, they're front people, but they told you it was going to be so lucrative for you and as job after job. I saw the factories in Ontario collapsing one after the other as they all moved. And at the same time, they opened up what they called the Mexican corridor, where they set up factories too for a temporary time for to get slave labor in Mexico. Everything to destroy what was here, you see. And here you are in a service economy, like as Britain already was before it all, before it happened here, and you paddle in the pool like a dog paddling in the pool, but until you're exhausted. That's what a service economy is, and you run out of energy, and you drown. And all the economists talked about that back in the 70s in Britain. If you went into a true European amalgamation, that would happen. And here we are in America doing the same thing, because the same organizations drafted up the agreements for the Pacific Rim region and so on, and peace and prosperity partnerships. They have all these terms for their different deals. It's all the same deals, by the way. And we pay for it all for so-called up-and-coming countries that we were the top countries for finance. Now we're sinking, but that's what was designed. We had to come down as we financed our countries to come up. Well, what a deal, eh? But not only that, look at the big picture here. And the big picture is a new system. You're already in it. Most folk, again, with their constant daily training through bits and bytes of info, don't think through things, but they will come to the desired conclusions that their masters want them to believe in. And they do, without question, because there's no one there on mainstream. You know, the authorized authority figure, there's no one come out and tell them differently, you see. Anybody who comes out to tell you something else is obviously a conspiracy theorist, you see. And they've trained the public to even turn on them. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, ha ha, yeah. So when you get someone coming out, when we're trying to find out who supposedly got the conversation between Donald Trump and the president of the Ukraine, or the guy who's dealing with all, and it went through a military, U.S. military station, I guess, we call them, and a guy comes forward, and supposedly he says he heard this conversation happening. Well, number one, why was he listening in? Or who was he really working for, this guy, this so-called colonel, who was from the Ukraine, but was brought up in America, and it's quite an interesting little history. But what's interesting is about the deep state. It was his duty to come forward and talk about it, you see. And others jumped in on it too, but one of them actually said, I'll put the article up, he actually admitted, you see, he says, it's our duty to thank God for the deep state. So here's a spy, basically, in the CIA, telling you thank God for the deep state. And then he was reprimanded for saying that. Because, you see, all of you out there are not supposed to believe there is such a thing as a deep state. You're supposed to believe you're in some kind of freed country, even though the US is a republic, but it's got a democratic republic, you see, where you're allowed to vote. But you're supposed to believe that you run the country. What a joke. I mean, does anybody really believe that the people run the country? But this deep state, you see, is another feature that came out before World War II with a group that Milner still ran. And with the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and they've had meetings, annual meetings, sometimes biannual meetings across the planet, for all the top politicians and the CIA guys and FBI and MI5 guys and MI6. Every country ends up going there. They're all members of it, because you see, it's a global agenda, and it's just the peoples of the world that don't know. Because You might. I don't know. If they cut off your internet supply for, you might start thinking about things. But until that happens, I don't think you will. You understand that you're the problem. All of you. That's why they have this deep state agenda. Where you're not supposed to, you know. You're supposed to believe it's all real. It's all on the up and up, and all the politicians are real people, just like you, and they've got your best interests at heart. We've been living and integrating into this globalist society, which is definitely a planetary society, with an authority at the top. The 2030 part of the Agenda 21 agenda is to do with the sustainability. It's a totally integrated planet with rulership, which means government. You understand that? And we're living through it step by step by step. And yeah, they'll bring more crisis on, real or imaginary. Doesn't matter. They can just say it is, and that's who it's going to be. And they'll integrate the planet under the guise of emergencies and to save us all. That's what the whole hype with the climate change thing's about. It really is. And I've mentioned before, the Club of Rome said that. They were tasked with getting a way to unite the world, some kind of crisis or something. So they said we hit upon global warming or famine, plague, drought on a world scale, things like that would fit the bill. Therefore, man was the enemy and he was making it happen. That's in their own writings. Yeah. And when they get on board with something that's tasked by the United Nations, all your government politicals are all be on board immediately with. They all know who their master is. They really do. And they're all part of the same things. And they're pledged towards it. They're completely pledged towards it. There's an interesting phenomenon happens in society. It's understood in military, and it's understood with anyone who takes up arms down through the centuries for rebellions or for revolutions and so on. It's as old as can be, going back into ancient times, when men especially get together and they're all certain of what they're pledging to do, which is going to cost their lives if they get caught and things like that. They understand and they make an oath. They always make an oath to stick by the same story, no matter what happens or what contrary evidence is brought forward in the future, should they feel. And that's what they do. Now, the same thing happened, which we get all these shows of it, examples of it, and most folk don't even notice or they forget it so quickly. But when George Bush was in, the junior, I call him Junior Bush, was in after 9/11, and he was surrounded with neocons. We all know that, neocons. And these are the guys who want war across the Middle East and the planet and so on, and Latin America, never changes. Some of them came out, some of the helpers came out, and handlers who were well paid to do what they're doing, and advisor capacities. And they mentioned that when they were all coming in with intelligence about Iraq especially. Now, remember, Iraq had nothing to do with bombing the towers 9/11 and 2001. But eventually, Bush and his crew at the top wouldn't allow any intelligence to come in unless it tallied with their agenda. In other words, tell us what we want to hear. And if you don't have what we want to hear, don't come in. They turned them away. So they took all the phony stuff about weapons of mass destruction. They even employed students that fled from Iraq, who are political refugees in a sense, who came up and drafted up a lot of these stories. So anyway, that's what they ran with to get us all into a war. And it was interesting times because in the Canadian papers, some of them even had carried the same article on Iraq having nothing to do with 9/11. And it mentioned in the papers that so slickly had the coordination of the newspaper groups in the States all swung together, obviously on board with an agenda, again, all pledged to, you know, so you make your pledge and you all stick together with the same thing. And it gradually, quickly and slickly swung the whole crisis thing over to Iraq. Within two or three months, Americans started to believe, they're doing polls and surveys as they were doing it to see how well it was working. And most Americans believed that Iraq was behind it. It was done so slickly. And then during the inquiry, all after they decimated Iraq into the Stone Age, which was the intention, according to, it was Kissinger actually wanted that to happen, I think. He said it'd be fair if it was bombed in the Stone Age and it could never regroup as a strong nation again. That was the intention. came out in inquiry, and George Bush said himself, well, I never said Iraq was had anything to do with 9/11, but Saddam was a bad man and we're better off without him. That was the answer to taking a nation's military across the world and putting into the Stone Age a whole people. Think about that. Think about that. And don't forget, those guys that were under Wolfowitz and the rest of these characters, and they're all trained by the same professor, these neocons at the time, who believed in, we've got to give the public a white hat, black hat scenario like the Westerns, and make it all seem that we're the good guys. You see? You know, all you're given all the time is propaganda and deception for agendas which you're not meant to understand. Because if you knew the truth about them, you really wouldn't like it. And it's much better when you don't understand them, then you can't complain, or you don't have the ammunition to complain with. You would have data. That's the ammunition. But that's what we live in today, and it's so perfected that most folk don't know. When it comes out, as I say, like a, it's more than a nugget when you hear today's announcements. Oh, yeah, and there's a spy getting shouted down by a superior for mentioning to the press that, thank God for the deep state, and we in the intelligence, basically, they run it. Well, are you voting those guys in, this real government system? Of course you're not. This will blow over, too, and people will forget it very quickly. And you'll be back to slumber again and thinking it's all real. But that's how we're managed. That is how we're managed. And that's what, again, the Lord Alfred Milner Group came to within its big... They had hundreds of think tanks still on the go today across the planet to help shape the culture, in fact, in every country, including Japan, even, you know. Over and from a central hub, and step by step by step, they re-alter society and all the natural norms in society for the agenda which they're bringing in. And the last ones to bring in are the ones who finance it all, which is mainly at the moment the U.S. That's the big tax base to finance all, and all the things which they believed in for since their birth, basically, in the U.S. You watch it being taken away step by step, and the people being transformed into the collectivist society, or their children are, and no one's asked what they think about it. And everyone's so mused, bemused. Amused is an awfully good term, because you're under a spell when you're bemused, or amused even. That's why you had the muses. You're enchanted to an extent. Today you're enchanted by all the big marketing splurges they give you on how wonderful the high-tech stuff all is. It's so wonderful. But it doesn't tell you why it's wonderful, because it's not freeing you up for it. It can certainly drag your life out through the internet, you know, staring at a screen. But apart from that, and apart from the fact of spying on you all the time and literally analysing you with every little punch of the keys that you make, how is it really benefiting you? Oh, I get wonderful colours and a higher pixel rate. But well, come on here. And they're giving you 5G and so on. I might just touch on that tonight. But again, you're not supposed to know what's going on. You really are not supposed to know. And you can see when someone comes out as a real whistleblower, where it's a matter of conscience or whatever drives them, to let the people know something that's going on somewhere. You can see the incredible backlash, because these people are considered ultra dangerous if they have evidence of what the governments have really been up to. And these governments are all connected across the planet, folks. They really are. How else can you bring in a global system? They're all got handouts from the World Bank, which is based in the US. And along with their handouts from the World Bank and IMF that manages it all for them, it's a whole stipulation of things they must accept, this change of societies and their culture and all the rest of it to suit this unified system that we've already got here. It's quite something, eh? Quite something. And what's comical to me, and there's many things are comical to me, the very fact that most folk think it's all real, the system, and then they've got rights and all that. You'll soon find out about your rights is coming. The hullabaloo about what's been leaked to the public, to say, oh my God, they're telling the public and praising the deep state. But you think about it, and they're hammering Trump for supposedly making a deal with the top guy over in the Ukraine, to give them information before to give them the loans or the money, I guess, from the World Bank or so on. Well, that's what the U.S. through the World Bank is doing across the world with every loan they give out. There's a whole list of things they must comply with and must change. The Africans have been saying no to a lot of these changes because it's changes to the culture which they actually won't take. They say, no way, no way. But we accept it all here, eh? It's all been done here because we're getting freer, you see. When we're completely dysfunctional, then we'll be utterly free. You understand when you're getting to a stage that we are meant to be completely dysfunctional and nothing will work anymore. It's not far off now. It really isn't. It really isn't. And I've got to hand it to the ones at the top. It's no miracle they can actually do it, not with incredible financing and the huge, massive think tanks working on every facet of civilization and society and culture. It's not surprising what they can do to the public. And with the behavioral insights teams now all over the internet managing us all, it's quite easy to do. But you've got to admit they're slick enough about it. And it's all done through deception. Make you believe that you're free and so on. And personally, you know, I belong to an old school, and I mentioned it before, it's from a Celtic background. And we have we generally, down through the ages, have had an awful allergy to tyranny. We just really break out all the time when we get tyranny, it's like, you can't stand it, you know. But isn't it astonishing, even in those Celtic countries that I've left, to look back and to see them being hammered and destroyed in the same way, and going socialist, totally socialist, total management of the public. They're all children, perpetual children. You can't manage yourselves. You're dysfunctional, yada, yada, yada. We have to do it all for you. Now, don't have children. Don't have children. And I guarantee you, I really think, and they admit this at the United Nations, that they've got Scotland so beautifully on the path of complete socialism that I think Scotland will be one of the first countries that will have mandatory licensing and checkups and so on for those who are permitted to have a license to have a child. I can see that coming. It has been said that George Orwell's idea of a future would be, and one of his worries would be, of censorship of literature and data, basically, be censored in a totalitarian regime. And Aldous Huxley in Brave New World had a different approach, that we'd be so flooded with data, but it would all be entertainment, pornography and things like that, that that's how we'd submit to being ruled in a kind of fantasy land of make-believe by a totalitarian regime, basically, at the top. A painless servitude, as Huxley called it, where you'd enjoy being a servant or even a slave. And most folk today, really, if you have no idea of your own history, especially if your struggles of your own parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents, and so on, and most folk don't today, the struggles that they've had, and the horrors they had to go through, and the wars they had to go through and sacrifice too, for reasons which they didn't even really understand themselves, because you're never told the truth when it comes to big moves like a world war. But those at the top certainly published enough about it, saying they needed a world war to get the nations to give up their sovereignty so they could be ruled. And again, from the same institutions I've mentioned already. So you've got to really, really look at things and understand what's really behind things. But we're nudged in so many ways. So many ways we're nudged into, especially opinions you're supposed to adopt. And don't think, even in certain topics are simply banned. It's like a big red flag. Don't go here, don't look at that. You're bad if you do. But there's nothing that should be prohibited from investigation, nothing at all. If it's prohibited, then something is wrong. And someone is ruling you for reasons which they're not going to tell you. That's quite simple. Now, again, back to the 2030 idea, which is a part of the agenda for the 21st century. Remember, so much has to be accomplished in 100 years of century. This is a century of transition or change, as it talked about in the last century at the universities. This vague term, but insiders always knew what they're on about. But a whole bunch of, so many different parts of it have to be brought to bear. And you can go way back again, like I say, even before World War One, where the think tanks that were fomenting revolutions and planning revolutions at the time talks about the biggest opposition, the problem they had, were men, naturally. It's always men that fight the battles and go off and get slaughtered and kill each other. But it was also men who would stand up against unlawful governments and have rebellions. And men at one time had families. So families were something that which gave them an added responsibility that they would definitely stand up for collectively. And governments hated that. H.G. Wells talked about it. He says, under socialism, we won't have the problem of groups forming to stand against some lawful order from government or whatever it happened to be. He said, because the state will be supreme, there'll be no gods, so there's no religion. There's no, when you have no other rights from some other source, you see, it's harder to get people to unite to fight something against a totalitarian system. But once you have a state that's there, and people still did, mind you, they still form groups, even local committees for the complete better councils. They could chase councils or council members out of the chamber if they were involved in skullduggery of some kind or another, and generally just some conning schemes and embezzlement and things like that. They used to do that. That was quite common. Even when I was a child, that would happen. And governments hated that, naturally. They don't like being shown up. And they don't like having their power challenged. And that shows you what democracy is, when those who are supposedly put in charge to look after things on your behalf really are angry when you want to have them open the books. That shows you who really is the boss. You know. As H.G. Wells said, he says, when government's in control, you won't have that problem. There'll be nothing. They can't say, well, you're just going against our religion or what God gave us as rights or whatever. You have nothing else to go by, you see. And then the state will be your master. That'll be your new god, and they will treat you as though they were a god, and they'll be ruthless, etc. That's what H.G. Wells thought was wonderful. And with if they could demolish the family unit, it's the same agenda as communism, by the way. You see, there are two sides of everything that work together always in this system, and they give you capitalism and communism, but it's all one. It's the dialectic to get you to a certain point. That's what it's about. But, as H.G. Wells said, they wouldn't have that problem anymore. You would do what you're told. You have nothing to stand up and say, we've got rights from God or whatever it happened to be. And you wouldn't have a common culture anymore once you destroy your religion, for instance. And you destroy the family unit especially, then the man won't stand up for anything. Especially if they make the woman hostile to the man. Think about that too. You realize everybody that thinks they're getting rights has actually been turned into an enemy of something else. Until you're all dysfunctional, and then you'll never stand for anything. But it really, really matters. You stand for all the relevant things that are getting pushed to take away your freedoms and rights. Isn't that wonderful? But when it comes to real danger times and so on, which will lie ahead, you'll have nothing to stand up to help you because you've made enemies of them all. And it's a well-laid-out agenda, and this is not paranoia, and it's not conspiracy theory. There's lots of writings out there by people who actually make it happen. And they even have their books published and say, oh, it's a wonderful idea. But along with it, too, comes the 5G thing. Think about that, too, where they want the whole world integrated. And you look up 5G and you say, well, what are they talking about, 5G? And it doesn't matter where you look up, they're not going to tell you much. They say, oh, you may get faster download speed. And so, all this hype and billions and billions of our tax money getting put into these, because the biggest welfare system is corporate welfare, as you know, for the right kind of people. And it's to change the world again, eh? Change the world. Well, what does that mean? Maybe they can get two movies, one for each eye. You know, it could be separate and see two different movies at the same time, and as you get, you know, gaga with entertainment. But they won't really tell you what it's all about, but it's for the connection of a totally surveilled society everywhere, in the forest, everywhere, at the seaside, you name it. Complete surveillance like never before, with everything that you even wear, with little chips in them and so on, and the fibers, they already have that, communicating with other computers all around you, constantly, you're paying for it. You're breathing the stuff in, for goodness sake. Nanoparticles. Did anybody ask you if you minded? Huh? Do you realize you better throw this idea of freedoms out the window completely, because you're never asked about anything at all that really affects you in a big way. You're never asked. And you've never been asked. But you have these people thrown forward, these other front folk thrown forward as somehow, though, you know, you should follow these geniuses of finance and so on. Well, really, I don't see that written down in any Charter of Rights or any constitution. You're supposed to follow these new gods. Because that's what they're becoming. They are putting them forward as gods. I hope you understand that. You don't vote them in. But they're also getting billions of your tax money for their big private projects. Hmm? You know they're front people, but regardless, it's quite something. As they keep telling you, you've got democracy and rights and so on. And you're so schizophrenic, you can't differentiate the two of having rights and a democracy. I like the American one better. That's why it was the envy of the world, you know. A government run by the people, for the people, and so on. At least in paper, it looked awfully good and appealing. And it did happen at one time. It really ticked off the ones, the globalists, for a long, long time. This damn pain. And I read that thing, I think, last week, too, from the CFR member, the week before, where he said that we've got to stop hitting the Constitution head on, and go around it and over it and under it. And build bridges all over the place, but that way you won't have conflict with it. Just ignore it. And well, that's what they've done, you see. It's quite something. And the world watches it. At least some of the world watches that. That's aware of things. And they see the same things happening in their own countries. Or they live in countries where they never really had those particular rights. I mean, Britain came out of World War II after fighting National Socialism. And they came out as National Socialists at the end of it. And the wealthy elite loved it. The top bankers loved it. The ones who really run them. Not your local banker, but the ones who lend to governments. They want that. They like an ordered society where the peasantry just does what it's told by a hierarchy of totalitarian regimes. They like that. It's more efficient, you see. This freedom thing's awfully, awfully inefficient. You've got rights and you'll stand up and delay things and you won't go along with certain things. And you're just bad children, you know. I'm quite serious about this. Anyway, he's a typical article here, right? It's so typical. Ready for 6G, it says, right? 6G, how artificial intelligence will shape the network of the future. With 5G networks rolling out around the world, engineers are turning their attention to the next incarnation. Well, they haven't told you what the 5G incarnation is yet. That's how they do it, eh? But they go into about mobile phone technology, and it changes the way we understand and interact with the world and so on. And it's so true, we don't interact with the world at all, we just bump into each other. And it says the latest technology, the fifth generation of mobile standards, or 5G, is currently being deployed in select locations around the world. They won't tell you where, though. Right? And that raises an obvious question, what factors will drive the development of the sixth generation? Well, tell us all about the 5 one first. What they hint at, too, is it'll connect all the cars, you see. Remember, too, under Agenda 21, eventually in the future, and this very shortly, there will be no private vehicles. No private vehicles, this is in it, no privately owned vehicles. They'll be essential vehicles only. They want you all living inside these cities, you see. And off the countryside as well. Read it, don't, if you think it's conspiracy, read the darn thing, you can get it from the United Nations. It's up on their websites. And every country signed on to it. But they do mention, as they say, that you'll eventually have, in the meantime, to get you off the cars, they'll get to put you into the driverless cars and things like that in the process in the meantime, so you won't have get too angry and ticked off. But think about it too, they can also stop you from driving. We had that before with the organizations that had the satellite control of the cars when it gets stolen or whatever, and yada, yada, yada. But it could also, there's so many articles came out initially, it was OnStar they called it, it could lock you in the car even, you couldn't get out. By the same token, you could turn it off, your car, and you couldn't drive anywhere. I mean, you look at, if you're buying things, it should be right to use them. And it shouldn't be someone else gets, some third party gets the right to use it as well, or turn it off, or whatever, or stop you using it. You always think about the negative things, because it's important that you do while you still have rights of any kind at all, if you actually do have rights. Then researchers say 5G will stream a human brain caliber artificial intelligence to wireless devices. Well, personally, I'm not really excited about that at all. I think we're already having the effects of these very high gigabyte streams. And I won't even go into all the data about the health effects in the brain and the huge piles of data from Switzerland and Sweden and different countries that are way ahead of us. And then, it's again, world's first 6G white paper builds cornerstones for 2030 wireless intelligence. Mm-hmm. One after the other, lots of articles. I'll put some of them up for those who want to plough through them. And then making 5G work indoors is a huge task for operators. Well, really, I would personally want my house shielded. And if I lived in a city street or something, I would definitely want it street. Could you imagine the power of all these different ones using their 5G network systems and routers around you, etc.? What a field to be living in. Remember, too, this is not hogwash. This is was studied with one of the big blackouts down the eastern coast some years ago. And the social work services, the police services of the cities all down that eastern coast said there was far less domestic problems or violence or robberies, and there was no road rage or anything like that. It all went quiet as folk lit. And they claimed, this is what came out with it, they studied it, and they found that we live inside cages of electricity in our houses. And all around your house, and up your walls and over your ceilings, you've got wires. And these wires are literally, they're a cage, that's what they create. And you are a 60 cycles a minute frequency, buzzing all the time. And they find when that's turned off during these big blackouts, we become more peaceful and quiet and contented. We're not agitated, because this frequency agitates you. It's not good for you, folks. We're not meant to live in cages of electricity like this. And now you've got these 5G things buzzing all around you, going through you in a microwave frequency. Wonderful. Let's all be excited about it, right? So I'll put that up. And then and Gartner predicts outdoor surveillance cameras will be the largest market for 5G Internet of Things solutions over the next 3 years. I'll put that one up too. And test bed for 5G powered drones coming to North Carolina. That's just swell, isn't it? Remember they had that too in 1984, the movie that I think was it John Hurt was in and Richard Burton, where they put it literally, Winston is shaving, and a helicopter comes up one by one, just going from window to window, looking in and getting spied on. Well, it's even better because we're with the 5G embedded all over the place, and you'll be watched all the time. And don't forget, too, all the studies that I read over the years about as they test us, and they used old folks' homes and the streets for the elderly, where they have homes but they have visits and during the day, and they put in cameras, and the people were not comfortable. They were always aware these cameras are watching them, but they found out if they put in the little fisheye ones all over the place and little tiny microphones, then you get used to it. You start to ignore them, and you'll act more normally. Well, it's the same. We are the true test rats, aren't we? And we don't get to vote on any of this stuff. Mind you, most of us don't think about asking for the right to vote on it. That's how tamed and domesticated we are. So anyway, test bed for 5G-powered drones coming to North Carolina. And then AT&T and Uber partner on 5G drones for ride-sharing, deliveries, and industrial IoT. And then 2019, Triangle Smart City Summit features 5G networks and drones. And that was from September. It's already over and done with. They have these summits all over the place, but you don't hear much about them generally. It's quite something. And all the studies they do show you that we're not really not any happier with all this stuff. I think it stimulates your depression in people. Because after all, every frequency out there can, if it matches up the frequency of any cell tissue in the body, it can start changing the functions of that tissue or make it secrete or whatever happens, or not secrete certain enzymes or hormones even. This is well understood as well. I had chosen that years ago. Anyway, and then you get back to the crisis. They can't do anything without creating an appearance of a crisis. And I must admit, it was a good idea for the Club of Rome to hit upon weather, because most folk don't remember too much of weather. And your lifespan is so short, and most folk are living in artificial environments from their car to their house to whatever, they don't take too much notice of it. So it's easy to terrify them with natural weather. And really don't. I've tested it myself and people over the years. When I used to have a little store up the road there, and I'd see the characters there. And one guy was an old English fella, and he honestly couldn't remember from one year to the next what the weather was like. So it was easy for him to get terrified reading articles about it. Quite some. Anyway, there's an article that says the Guardian newspaper goes Orwell on climate. That's one write up about the article. And it says as prominent on the list as the Guardian's formal adoption of the pejorative term denier. These all these nasty terms, like if you're a Holocaust denier, now you're a weather denier, you know, and a climate change denier, you know, like a crisis term, a crisis denier, because it's only to be a crisis, you see. So you're a bad person, an elimination of the word skeptic to describe people attempting to correct the record on climate. It tells you how they're changing terms to be used to terrify you all the more. Climate emergency or climate crisis is to be used instead of climate change. Before it was just it's weather, you know. We used to have weather programs, and I'm tuning in to see what the weather is tonight or for tomorrow. Now it turns to climate change eventually when they couldn't get enough crises happening. Now it's climate crisis. And climate science denier is another term that they're using now, or climate denier, to be used instead of climate skeptic. Use global heating, not global warming. If you're going to use it, don't say global warming, say global heating, you see. And greenhouse gas emissions is preferred to carbon emissions or carbon dioxide emissions. Use wildlife and not biodiversity. Use fish populations instead of fish stocks, see. So I've got that one there, and I've got the one from The Guardian itself. I'll put that up next to it to show you that it's not made-up stuff. It's true. It's true what they're putting out now. And you understand, these are the terms, not the terms, but the techniques that were all well-tried and trusted after been trying them all out in the old communist countries when they actually were communists. That's exactly the techniques they used, to what to say, what to call things, and so on. It's all been done before, you see, and now it's applied to this. And then they'll shun you if you're a bad person and you won't go along with it. And you're bad, you know. And when you say denier, obviously it's lumped in the Holocaust. You've already got a guilt complex with that already. So that's why they're using denier. Yeah, it's disgusting, the techniques that they use, isn't it? There's nothing cheap enough to use on the public. Other things, expenses. And that actual article from The Guardian is why we are rethinking the images we use for climate journalism. And so the editor, Fiona Shields, explains why they're going to be using fewer polar bears and more people to illustrate our coverage of the climate emergency. It's a climate emergency, don't you know? There you go. We also had Jane Fonda again. They bring out these aging actors and actresses, or they're way over the hill, who made a career either taking their clothes off or protesting something or demanding that you all go communist. That's what Jane was just called, Hanoi Jane at one point. And she's always protesting something, you know. She's Jane Fonda protesting this and Fonda protesting that. And now she's on about the climate now as well. Anything for attention, isn't it? It's quite something with these characters. Now here's another one from Governing States and Localities, it's called. And it's Green Roof Requirements Are on the Rise. Remember a few years ago, they come up with all these ridiculous things. That's what Bezmenov said, too, as they push all the socialistic, communistic ideas. It doesn't matter where they spend your money, as long as they blow it all over the place on silly things. So they're putting green on all the roofs and even soil and turf on top of buildings and things like that, you see. It's come up with these wacky ideas over the last few years. And it says governing the states and localities, so they're governing you, you see. It sounds better than just ruling you, but really ruling you is what they do. This is green roof requirements are on the rise. To meet their energy goals, cities are starting to make new buildings and have solar panels or vegetation atop. See? I remember they tried it a few years ago and their buildings collapsing. So I'll put this article up, and then next to it I'll put up one that was quite one of the big buildings that collapsed too when they tried that before. I think. And this article also was another article too about the city's new green building legislation resulting in the equivalent of taking more than 1 million cars off the road by 2030. They don't want you driving by then. I think France signed it into law. They don't want cars in. Again, agenda for 21. Right? And you think you've got rights and freedoms and stuff. Really? It's all planned, folks. And so New York, yeah, naturally says it's going to improve the quality of life for New Yorkers for generations to come. And I'll put that one up. And then I'll hit this article here from, I think, 2011 is one of the first catastrophes. Largest sloping green roof collapses, it says. A section of the roof at the 256,000 square foot Charles III headquarters of Pond Construction Company, Aquascape, crumpled to the ground on Sunday, the Chicago Tribune reported. No one was injured in the collapse, which company officials said was likely the result of an ice dam forming and preventing melting snow from draining off the roof. May have also had something to do with the incredible weight of the roof in the first place with turf and so on and so on. There you go. But nothing's silly enough, eh? Nothing's silly enough. Because the whole point is to get you and the children especially, who will be, that'll be normal for them to live in this totalitarian system to save the planet. They'll think it's all quite natural and all real, you know. And City Tech Collaborative is working on a tool that will make urban heat data more accessible to planners, especially in Chicago, where the prototype is slated for testing early 2020. And they're going to do basic stuff too, even putting white roofs on instead of dark ones, just to, you know, that kind of thing, to reflect the light, which will reflect some heat. But in the cities, as you know, the more they build the cities wider and wider and bigger, they become massive concrete jungles that the heat just bounces around and reflects back and forth from buildings to roads to buildings and roads. That's the problem with it. In the country, it's much cooler because the ground, the soil, absorbs it, you see. But don't mention that. Oh, no, you're a climate denier. Oh. So I'll put these articles up. And then another thing too, I mentioned before, when you've been seeing it for a few years now, your choices to sustain your own life or your family's life being taken away, as in narrow your ability. For instance, if they take away gasoline for your car, then what are you going to, electric car? Then you've got to change the batteries, next to about $40,000 or so to change batteries on them. They can't afford it naturally, so that's you better live in these compact cities that they're building. Or the old slum ones, and enjoy, because they cram us all in there under the guise of crisis, you see. And so they're taking away your ability for choices. So then now you're narrowed down to oil, right? Using oil to heat yourself or whatever, like an oil furnace or electricity. So naturally in California, right, on Tuesday vote to ban natural gas hookups in new buildings in a historic move. Well, good. I think they should just annex the whole place, because I'm telling you, they used to say in Britain and in parts of Europe that they're all cancers, all social cancers that you'd read about in the papers and magazines, started in California and spread outwards. And it's true. It's so true. It's the avant-garde of everything, of the whole agenda. So the landmark ordinance passed into law Tuesday, having been approved unanimously at the city council the previous week amid resounding public support by other civil servants. Anyway, you can see them taking away things one thing at a time. And you're supposed to eventually, and they're talking about putting a big tax, by the way, on oil instead, if you want to use oil. Now, they can live in a warm climate much easier than live in a very cold climate like where I'm in Canada. And when you start taking away your choices of keeping yourself alive, you're in a dangerous situation. I hope you understand that. As they take one thing away from you after another and force you on one system. And the one system that they're putting you on, they want you to be on eventually, is electric. Well, guess what? When you've already taken away all the surplus, your big electrical supplying stations, which were Jeremy Cole fueled at one time, and clean coal at that, for the filters upon them, the modern coal fire types, coal power stations, you wouldn't see any smoke. It was literally heavily filtered and clean, basically. But that is, facts don't matter, you see. You can't, remember, all energy, and this is from the writings of those at the top, inside the Department for Population, the UN, the problem of the world is, if you have more energy, people will be healthier and they breed more. I'm not kidding you. That's what they've had meetings about it. So energy must be reduced. All kinds of energy, including heating and cooling and all the rest of it, must be reduced. And you get trained, and folks start to die and get a little sick and all that. And they'll ration electricity to you. That's all they'll have left, you see, because that's all they're going to give you. They'll be wealthy at the top. It's like 1984, remember, when Julia brings food in. She wants to smuggle real food from the headquarters of the top parties and so on. And to Winston, and he couldn't believe it. Real coffee and real meat and real this and real that. She says, yeah, there's nothing those bar stewards don't have. You see? And that's how it is today. And that's how it's going to be again, as they go down this same path again of the super Soviet. Not maybe Russia. This is a Soviet, means ruled by councils, non-approved councils by the public. They disappear, and they're already here set up, right? And that's ruled by councils. That's the way, there you are. Councils for everything. Everything. And here we are. Anyway, here you go. It's all been done before, but this is the super one for the planet. And so, they're going to start putting penalties on using oil if you try to get around it. Here, Seattle wants to be carbon neutral by 2050. Do you realize that if you were carbon neutral, you'd all be dead? All plant life would be dead as well. Everything would be dead if it's carbon neutral. You understand that? The terms aren't even scientific terms that they're using. New survey shows 70% of millennials would vote for socialist success. Maybe true, maybe. You can make anything appealing if you tell them what lies and train them in school. And especially when they don't really know what it means. When you're young, you're more gullible than ever if you don't know what you're really joining on to. And more than a third of millennials polled approve of communism. And again, you can sway any poll as well if you want to. And it's meant to encourage more folk to say, oh, well, I guess I'll join that. But we are in a new system, as I say, where everything that can be done to destroy the old system is being done. Mass migration comes in at a time when there's not enough work for people even here. When they're talking about putting a lot of people on basic incomes paid by the state, like Bertrand Russell talked about in the 1940s, they would do that. Well, here we are. So why would you flood countries with people that literally you don't need to for working? And you'll have to support them. Well, it's going to bring down the system because you can't keep paying out and paying out and paying out. And eventually, when it gets to the crisis state, which it probably is already, it's artificially propped up, they'll say, well, we need a new system. You understand? It's all been done to bring in a new system. All of it. There's California, says Prop 47 needs to rise in shoplifting theft. 2014, Prop 47 was passed to reduce certain non-violent felonies to misdemeanors in order to free up resources for police and prosecutors to go after serious violent offenders. Data shows that after Prop 47 passed, shoplifting and thefts increased, and Fox News did a little survey on it, and shoplifting is skyrocketing because this guy's a misdemeanor, so no one cares now, you see. So all these little things all help to destroy you, chip away a functioning system until it's more and more dysfunctional, and they'll bring a new system in at the end of it, naturally. Of course they will. The feds experiment with allowing police officers to wear body cameras on task forces, Washington Post. It's an article too. It says United Nations to America says we're the boss. It's getting more and more in your face, isn't it? It is. Getting more and more in your face. But you really want them to just say, yeah, we're tyrants. Of course, they won't say that. A tyrant always presents himself as a savior. You're living through a very well planned and organized, that's the key, is organization as an agenda. And you're not supposed to understand it or think it is an agenda. You should still think life will go on as ever, and you can always vote for different people and so on and so on, and everything will be okay. But when you think about it, regardless of what you think of this Trump, because as far as I'm concerned, I'm not really into politicians at all. I think we've lived under an agenda for my entire life. It's been an agenda. And most of the politicians are all in it. In fact, any politician that's worth their salt knows exactly what their partner is, and they'll never admit it to the public. But if you believe any of it was real, why do you think the whole establishment, it's like the mass of the 99% of the media, all of the TV media, is against anything that Trump's, especially with pulling out from wars and so on? You'd think they'd be happy. They'd be pulling away from wars. You can't, America's floundering in trillions and trillions of dollars of debt. But the establishment wants you to keep, it tells you that the establishment is not what you think it is. And that the reasons that they rule you is not for the reasons that you think you've been, let's say, governed. I hope you understand what I'm saying here. And this strange deep state thing, which now they admit to, and the spies involved in it are admitting to it, the intelligence agencies and CIA run the show. Do you vote for them? Huh? Do you vote for the intelligence agencies? Has it been written down somewhere for the public who are supposed to govern the country? It's been written down for the people? Well, of course not, because you've been ruled by deception for such a long, long time. That when it even comes out and they admit to it, it'll still go over folks. They can't really mean that. Oh, yeah, they do. They do. Yeah. The Monroe Doctrine is the best doctrine ever proposed for the U.S., to keep out of the wars, even in the Constitution, to keep out of the foreign wars, foreign entanglements. And here you are, you've been ruled by them for the last, at least 120 years. And that's about it, folks, as I say. You would think you'd be happy, as I say, that you could bring the troops home and then start looking after the country and even its own borders, for instance. But nope, they want you to be the big boys that they've been on the go since Bush Senior to Bush Junior and through Obama, even with Clinton too, when they were sending daily over cruise missiles into Iraq without declaring war or anything for years. They've been ruling your country for a long, long time. And then they'll demolish it, your country, and put you into the Stone Age as well. Well, you can't heat yourself. Oh, no, you've got to huddle up in huts now, and et cetera, et cetera. They're all getting used, but we always do get used by them. They're tyrants. Enemies from the south.